Hey, we're recording.
The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of Monday, May 5th, 2014, to order. The time is 6:32. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
David Holman?
Present.
Mike Gable?
Yo.
Anita Johnson? She's excused. David Arrington? I didn't get a call, you didn't get a call? Aaron Decker?
Here.
Leah Blau?
Here.
Is that right, Blau?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Greg Retzloff?
Here.
Alicia Skalitsky?
Here.
And Lindsay Allen?
Agenda item number two, citizen comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of 3:25:14?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Decker. Evidence?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Agenda item four, approval of the county executive appointment of Lisa Rasmussen Zanian, I believe I got that right, to the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center Board. This is a new appointment.
I can address the item, but unfortunately Lisa is not here. We have, for the new members, I'm Laverne Jarris, Director of the Division of Aging and Disability Services. We have three, actually, oversight citizen committees for our division. The ADRC Board is one of the required boards for our resource center money that we get from the state. And we have about 15 members, I think we're allowed to have 17 members. And they represent various citizen groups, serve voluntarily, and meet, now we're meeting every other month. And they advise us on, help us with quality improvement, quality assurance, and other matters that the resource center deals with. And Lisa is a new appointee. She is representing NAMI. She's now the co-chair, along with Jack Rose, of NAMI Kenosha. And I know she was helping out with a crisis intervention partnership training today, and she may have gotten delayed from that. If you have background information.
Are there any questions, Ms. Jarris?
Is there anything more? I just have her, what I got was the appointment profile that she filled out. Was there anything, a resume that she had or anything like that? Thank you.
I think she had been a teacher. She's a retired special education teacher. And has been volunteering for NAMI for, I don't know. That's about all I have. And then recommendation from Jack Rose.
Who's talked to her?
Supervisor Retzloff?
I'm sorry, Jack Rose, you're saying this person has talked to her?
Jack Rose had recommended her because he's going to, his term will be ending this year. And we sought another representative from NAMI for the board, and he recommended her. She is now co-chair of the NAMI.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, is there a second?
I saw that.
Anything else?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Agenda item number five, Kenosha County Department of Health, 2014 health rankings.
Speaking, I'm Cindy Johnson. I'm the Division Director of Health. I'll pass around some information.
that are new to the committee. And I have Stacy Wyans here. She'll be giving the presentation on our health rankings. Stacy's been with our health department for the past 11 years. She's a community health outreach specialist and also epidemiologist. Very well prepared with education, health educator degree, and master's prepared, and has done exceptional work with our department, and show the presentation on our health rankings.
Thank you. I have one addition handout. Sorry about the late entry. Thanks for having me to talk about the county health rankings. I'm not sure how much you know, so I'll just give a little background. The county health rankings come out every year, and they've been doing this since 2010. And it's through Wisconsin Population Health Institute, and they actually go through and rank the counties, every county in the United States, on different measures, and actually rank them, those counties. So, sure, sorry.
I'm sorry, Lisa got lost.
I found you.
Yeah.
I'm Lisa Zeman.
Well, you now have a new job.
I knew that. Yes, I'm excited.
Thank you. Just, I guess, and you know, we didn't cover this before, but so folks know, previously there were some committee members that felt that folks that were looking to be on boards and commissions should come in front of this committee, even though 99.99999% of the time they were never asked a question. Sometimes there was difficulty with folks getting here. I know we had folks one time, it was really cold, and they needed paratransit because they were disabled, and it was problematic, although we were able to get them by phone. So, I mean, don't know if that's something that you all want to continue. It's to your discretion, but that's more than likely why she has to be here.
I think if you're going for an appointment, you know, you should make your, at least make your presence known at the committee meeting, just so we have some idea.
What I look like.
I agree. Like you said, they're all going to be approved, but it's to have the conversation, just to see. Maybe she has some, wants to say some things about what she, her experience. I think it's a conversation doesn't hurt.
It's a courtesy. Yeah.
The only thing that I would request of all of you, if we're going to be in that fashion, and we don't need a formal vote to do this, is because we do have biographies, resumes, you know, of these persons, is that we, at least one of us, even no matter how ridiculous it is, ask them a question out of the fact that they've taken the time to be here, not just on the fact that we're county supervisors and we feel like they should show up. Is that okay?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Can I ask her a question?
What
does
Tommy
stand for?
National Alliance
Mental Illness. In the past, it was always new appointees, not reappointments, mm-hmm. just to find right. out. So.
Right. Okay. Sorry you had such a time getting to
it. That's right. I thought it was the public safety building. No. I got you.
There are no alligators in the moat on your way out.
The parking, I'm sure, was great planning a spot, too. Thank you.
My apologies.
Oh, that's okay. As I was saying, so the Wisconsin Population Health Institute has been ranking counties on different measures since 2010, and they actually rank all counties nationwide. So this is something we've been looking at for many years. The handouts, I can kind of go over. So this is the handout, the blue and orange one. I'll go into more depth on it. Just as a summary of our rankings this year compared to last year, and I'll go over that. The new one that I just passed out is sort of a comparison on the different things since 2010. And again, I'll go over all these in more detail. And then the bigger is actually the rankings for Wisconsin, so you can see where we ranked Kenosha, but you can also see what the top counties were and all that. So I'll kind of, really, this will be the main handout I'll go over, is the blue and orange one. The county health rankings, how they measure everything is in sort of two big categories, health outcomes and health factors. And then those get broken down and then broken down even further. The rankings, and you can look at the summary, one is excellent, 72 is poor. There are 72 counties in Wisconsin, so you want to be on the higher end of the rankings. And I'll just go through sort of where we're at, and if you have questions along the way, you can certainly ask. The orange is health outcomes. They look at two kind of subcategories under that, length of life and quality of life, and those are equal distribution on the ranking. Our overall ranking for health outcomes this year was 64 out of 72. We're at 66 last year. So we have gone up slightly, which is good. When I say up, it's a good thing. Length of life, what they look at then, and this is now, I'm breaking it down even further into the specific measure that they look at. And it's years of potential loss before age 75, and that is age adjusted. Our ranking for that was 56, which was the same of last year. And if you look at the different columns on this sheet, you can see sort of the data that corresponds to the ranking. Moving down then into quality of life, that's also 50% of our overall health outcome ranking. They break that down into several different measures, and you can see there, percent of adults reporting fair or poor health. We were at 14%, we are at 13%. Mean physical unhealthy days per month for adults. You can see the data there. Our quality of life ranking, we went from 69 to 67, which again was an improvement slightly. And the one thing I just wanted to point out, some of these things are reported data, so just keep that in mind. A lot of the data that gets talked about is either kind of concrete aggregate data or data that's reported through surveys or whatnot. You'll get a call and say, you know, how many days have you worked out this week, that kind of thing. So it's self-reported. The last one on there, percent of live births with low birth weight, you can see we improved slightly there. So that's the overall health outcome. Just sort of move, I'll kind of flip a little bit. Looking at this sheet, you can see in previous years how we've done with health outcomes. And then the second chart is length of life and quality of life. So we've stayed pretty consistent in both those. There's been a little jostle up and down, but pretty consistent in the mid-60s, kind of upper 60s for length of life, and in the 50s, or I'm sorry, for quality of life, length of life in the mid-50s. So, moving into the blue area, which is health factors. That is broken down into four big categories: health behaviors, clinical care, social economic factors, and physical environment, and each of those have a certain percentage of our overall ranking for health factors. We stayed the same. Kenosha did a 61 from last year for health factors. The first category, health behaviors, looks at, again, now ranking it even further, tobacco use, diet, exercise, alcohol use, and sexual activity. And you can see now the different measures under that. And I'll just highlight some. We went for health behaviors, we were at a ranking of 40, and we went to 53, which is, we went down, which I don't like to see for health behaviors. It's last year when we got the 40, we really liked seeing that because it was showing us that some of the efforts we were making improvements in what people were actually doing, which, yes, you know, we look at quality of life, but we like to really look at what people are choosing to do. Are they quitting smoking? Are they choosing to go out and exercise? Are they looking at their diet? So we'd like to see that 40. Unfortunately, our ranking did go to 53, but I can kind of explain why that may be as we go on here. So looking at just some of the measures, you can see looking at 2013 to 2014, things have stayed pretty consistent. The third one down, index of factors that lead to a healthy food environment. This is a new measure that they added in this year. This looks at a lot of different factors, looking at your access to food, if there are grocery stores nearby. These are some of the things that are included in there. Our index was 7.9. The national goal is 8.7. So this is a new measure they added in, which likely brought our score kind of on the downward turn. Continuing to move down, the percent of the population with adequate access to locations for physical activity. This is also a new measure that they added in this year. The county health rankings like to do that, where they'll take a measure out, put a new measure in. Why they do that, I'm not sure. But it does definitely have a reaction with our ranking on when they do that and what measure they decide to add or take out. We did, though, get a 94% in that category for access to locations for physical activity. The national goal is 85%, so that's actually a pretty good sign. 94% is pretty good for that. And then just moving down again, proportion of driving deaths with alcohol involvement. This is, again, a new measure they added in this category, which, again, likely brought our score down. We're at 38%. And the national goal is 14%. So again, we were really doing good in health behaviors, but now they've added three new measures in that probably kind of why ranking started to go down a little bit. If you have questions on where the data is coming from, the bigger pack on page 7, there is a kind of a busy chart, but it lists the measure and then the data source that the county health rankings use to figure that out. The other interesting thing is the year of data. And I bring this up just because this is the 2014 county health rankings, but if you look at the year of data, you see 2011, 2012, there's some combined data, 2005, 2011, 2009. So there's older data on here, which that's just kind of the thing with data. It's hard to get real timely data. So I just bring that up in the fact that the county health rankings are wonderful. We use them, but I always kind of say it's a snapshot because it's really not truly 2014 county health rankings. You're kind of giving snippets of different years.
I'm sorry, did you just pass that out before?
This was included.
That was included. That was a big packet.
Okay. But I can pass
it. When they did like 2012 reports, was it older data too? I mean, it looks like we're 40
right.
years.
Exactly. So, you know, again, this is a snapshot. It gives us an idea of how we're doing. But is it truly 2014?
It's not.
Right. So I just say that to kind of, you know,
Okay, I understand.
So I'll continue. Moving into clinical care, which includes access to care and quality of care. They really look at, obviously, access to primary care providers, ratio of populations to dentists is one measure on here, and you can see how we work here and what the national goal is. We actually improved slightly from 2013, but we're nowhere near what the national goal is. A new one that was added this year, which is wonderful, is the ratio of population to mental health providers, and our ratio is not good, which again, our overall ranking for clinical care went from 62 to 58, so likely adding this new measure for mental health providers is what brought our measure down.
Quick question of the ratio of population to mental health providers. Are they making the differentiation between adults versus kids, or?
I believe it's just strictly, but it might say a little national. That's a good question. My assumption would be adults, but I would have to check further into this data source to find out exactly what it was. Most of this is adult data. That's why my assumption would be that, but I can certainly, that's something I could check into more.
How, when you're analyzing these things, I mean that just that alone could affect other factors. If you know what I'm saying, if one particular area is really poor, wouldn't that affect the others? if I'm not seeing a primary care physician, XYZ may happen to me, which isn't right.
Exactly.
So I guess my point is, if you're to zero in, could helping one of these particular things take care of four others? Do they go hand in hand? Do you see what I'm trying to say?
I do, and that's a great point. And they do. A lot of these things you do see a connection with. Seeing a primary care provider, which might lead to that doctor recommending a better diet and more exercise. And we'll get into some of the screenings. Moving on, you know, moving to the back page of this now, some of the measures look at receiving diabetic screenings, mammograms. So, yeah, they do, a lot of these do go together. And we try to do that. The county health rankings we use in our community health improvement plan, which is basically our improvement plan for the county through healthy people. And we use these measures in our goals and objectives for the next 10 years. So, I mean, we take this and we really are working on some of these items because, as you said, a lot of them do go hand in hand. The next kind of category is social economic factors, and they look at education, employment, income, family social support, community safety. We went from a ranking of 55 to 53 in that, so a slight improvement. And you can look at the different factors. They look at the high school graduation rate, the percent of adults with some post-secondary education, unemployed but seeking work, 16 and over, percent of children under age 18 in poverty. And a lot of, if you look kind of look into the other columns, data-wise, it's stayed pretty consistent. The last one, the violent crime rate per 100,000 has improved slightly. The new measure that they added this year under this category is the injury mortality rate per 100,000, which we, our rate was 63, the national goal is 49, so we have some work there. So this is a category for public health. We kind of look at, there's little things we can make a difference with, but again, this is one that I think goes hand in hand with a lot of the other, like access to health care and the different health behaviors. It does, it all gets intertwined together. The last category is physical environment, and they look at air and water quality and housing and transit, and we went from a 65 to a 71, which is not good. I can kind of give you my interpretation of why that ranking went down so far. This ranking really, or this category, it really used to look more at air and water quality, and they kind of previously included the access to food in this category. But now they've really switched it, and they've included now three new measures in here. The first one looking at percentage of households with at least one of four housing problems, and they look at overcrowding, high housing costs, lack of kitchen or plumbing facilities. So they're starting to look more at housing, and you'll see now transit. The next one, this is a new one, percent of the workforce that drives alone to work. This is a brand new measure. We were at 84%, the national goal is 71. I would presume because we have so many people commuting to Illinois and just, you know, a lot of this would factor in. And then the last one, which is new, among workers who commute in their car alone, the percentage that commute more than 30 minutes. So we're at 36%, the goal is 15%. So, fortunately, we did kind of drop a lot in that category, but adding three new measures, I think, brought that down.
I have a question. For the commuting thing, are you guys going to be taking into account like van pools and stuff, you know, things like that?
Well, the county health rankings, they get their data from their data sources, and they actually received that information from, it's a survey, the American Community Survey. So it's a survey that is done nationally. They pluck their data out of that for this measure. So I'm not sure exactly what the survey questions are that they asked. But.
Yeah, because we have a large population that works at Abbott,
right.
And I work at Baxter,
yep.
And I'm in a van pool. So, you know, I mean, that should also be you know, taken into consideration.
So that is kind of in a nutshell the rankings. And then I just wanted to, on the back of this is, and it's a kind of a busy chart, but again, I just wanted to show the comparison of from 2010 to 2014, those four categories: health behaviors, clinical care, social economic factors, and physical environment. And you can see again, things have kind of shifted a little bit, but we've stayed for the most part fairly consistent. That health behaviors in the blue, we were kind of doing really good going down, and now we're starting to bump, but I think adding some of the new measures in there attributed to that. But as I said, we do use the county health rankings in our goals and objectives for healthy people. Our community health improvement plan is on our website for the health department. And we're also in the process of finalizing our status report. I'd like to annually go through and just say, how are we doing with our goals and objectives? Where are we at? We have six different committees looking at a lot of different things. I'd like to show how we're doing. So once that's finalized, that'll be on our website as well. But that was kind of a lot of information. I can take any questions.
really briefly, just to go back to the carpool issue. I don't know how familiar you are with the American Community Survey. It's part of the U.S. Census. It's a longer form, but given to people, and to give a statistically representative sample of the population of the United States. So there's a lot of things that come out of the community survey. I think that's done every 5 years or 7 years or something like that. But it's on, done on a more frequent basis than the general U.S. Census.
Well, who do they determine gets the survey then?
They've got a formula that they use. It's on their site.
Okay, it's American
Community Survey.
American
part of the U.S. Census out of the Department of Commerce. And their data is widely, widely used in addition to what's kept by states. The state of Wisconsin keeps countable health data for all kinds of things. That's usually pretty more, I think, maybe a little more timely than some of what we saw here because of the reporting requirements that are there. So,
I know, unfortunately, a lot of the surveys are only done every 5 years. I wish they were done, obviously, more frequently, more data.
Mm-hmm. And you'll hear us talk a lot about data, particularly with this community, with this committee, workforce development. There's a lot of data that can be shared with that in terms of employment statistics. Some of those things are done on a quarterly basis. Some of them are done on a yearly basis. So there'll be things that you'll hear quite a lot.
Yeah, things like that. It would be nice.
In your goals and so forth, do you have like action plans that are, I can relate some of this to the school, Kenosha Unified School District, that had problems. You know, they have PhD level reports that are unbelievable, this thick on how all the statistical information, how it's this, and okay, great stuff done at a PhD level. The question is, how do you take that into, making with this? Very, very detailed information, possibly very detailed goals and analysis of this. How do you get that from there to improve that, I guess, is the action steps? I mean, how does, I'm not trying to say you got a great answer on that. That's not my point. It's just we can get bombarded with data, okay? And I'm like, all right, great. But we've been doing this now for, you say since 2004, roughly?
The county health rankings since 2010.
And you've had goals in that correlate with those dates, too? I mean, you have action plans.
We've selected certain goals and objectives based on the county health ranking.
And obviously, you're not happy with that because this isn't good. I mean,
right.
If I was objectively saying, you have a goal, what is your goal? I don't think these would be your goals for the outcomes. And I'm not saying you can control that, but I'm just saying, what's going to change from just compiling a bunch more data, same statistics?
What we gave you is sort of just a snapshot of what we use in the larger scheme of things. And your questions are very well taken. This is a copy of our community health improvement plan. It's titled Healthy People Kenosha 2020. This plan has been in existence since the 90s. were very happy to start getting some data sets that we could actually utilize to insert, to at least to have some numerics to try to achieve what we needed to achieve for a community. Supervisor Gable was the co-chair previously of our Healthy People, but I'll give you a copy of this just to kind of, for you to see in a snapshot, the health rankings are only a tool for us to use for a community health plan. They're not the all and end to everything, because as you can see, they're flawed in many ways, but yet it gives us some numerical representation of where we are in our community. Even though they're very old, we use them as if they're current, but if they're actually, you know, 6-7 years old. But at least it's something that we can utilize, because there isn't a lot of data. Even our state data called WISH, W-I-S-H, old information. We try to collect real-time data in the health department. It's not easy to do. Computerization, you just are tabulating information. But that also gives us another barometer to compare where we are within our community, in addition to a lot of our community partners. And that's really what our Healthy People plan is about, is collaborating within our community, the public health system, which is schools, law enforcement, other government officials, other community-based organizations. It's not just the health department, it's our community working together to achieve, and you'll see there's 6 committees in there. They were selected by our community partners, and the chair of each committee and their committee members selected the goals and objectives to achieve for our community. And we use this information as data sets, just as a barometer to have achievements and to have some marker for achievements.
Okay, so you feel confident that your goals are measurable, attainable?
Yes. You'll see in that, yes. Okay. And Stacy has well assured that when she has worked with our community partners, that the goals and objectives do have smart objectives, because in the past, it was almost like throwing darts at something. But now we actually can measure everything. And we used a couple of other data sets, so at least we have some comparison, and we included it.
Well, if you feel confident that the goals are direct, targetable, and attainable, that's important to someone like me looking at this. Okay.
They're a work in progress.
Okay.
Achieving an improvement in the high school graduation rate is a work in progress.
Sure.
It's not going to happen overnight. And we have programs now. An example is we have an evidence-based program, the Nurse Family Partnership. It's a home visiting program. We visit moms when they're first-time moms when they're 20 weeks pregnant, and we stay with them and their first child until the child's 2. Our first set of graduates will happen this fall. But for us to see the long-term outcomes of this particular program, we'll need to wait till that child is in high school and graduating, because this evidence-based program speaks to high school graduation rates, decreased juvenile criminal activity, the mother's securing education, employment, so they are out of the cycle of poverty. So now we have our first graduation, and now we'll be looking at all the data that we've collected and the data moving forward to see where these kids will go. And we're very hopeful that it's going to be long-term improvement within our community.
I will say, Supervisor, to those questions, at NACO, the county health rankings are much talked about, oddly enough. I didn't know that such a topic would generate the kind of excitement that it did, but quite a lot. It's one of those things you go, I didn't think people would be quite so into that, and they are. There's one community in particular that had GIS mapping to plot where their fast food restaurants were and compare those to the demographics of various neighborhoods and try to use that to encourage healthy eating. There are others that said, looked at their health rankings and said, we really think a community program would be great. There was another one that said, we've got to do something about getting folks enrolled into Medicaid so that they can actually have access to care. You know, and all of that translates into dollars. You know, the healthier your community is, the less they're going to be spending on health costs, which we all know are incredibly high, whether that's individuals, families, businesses, you know, it all matters. So I think maybe what we're missing here, haven't necessarily, to the best of my knowledge, had a particular supervisor that was quite so passionate to look at the other 22 of us and say, this is what we've all got to do. So, you know, if this is something you're excited about, if you want to be that guy, I'm sure your friend here will be very glad to help you.
It's not so much that. It's just, I mean, I guess I'm using my comparison, which isn't fair to the school district I came from. And that was just information out, in, and nothing out. I mean, everything was done at such a high level. Incredible. I'm saying PhD level researches. You know, you got those type of people over there. They're PhD people. And it was all great. And it all made it look like you guys really know what you're doing. I mean, this is way beyond anything I could ever think of, how great this looks. But yet the results weren't good. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, you know the KUSD problems. We're all aware of those. And the people running that place are all PhD people with stacks and stacks of reports they'll give you about how they can cure these problems that no one can understand. And I'm not saying this is, but it's. I looked at this and just briefly and saying, we're 64th out of 71 counties. That's and I know you, and I'm just saying is, that's not good, right? I mean, by any measure. And I know we want to improve that. That's what I'm getting at. So I think the answer that she gave was about having goals, step-by-step goals that are measurable, attainable. I get that in the private sector. It helps. And just broad-brushing all this and just so much data to think about and so many uncontrollable things. Like you just said, fast food restaurants. That's great. That's something measurable, attainable, and you can say it worked or not.
But it always helps, I think, personally, to have, you know, one of us at the county board level to really help carry out further some of those pieces in terms of execution. And so that's what I mean when I say really passionate. It's really, really interesting when you encounter those folks who are other county board commissioners or county supervisors who do that kind of thing. There's some awesome folks out there. Supervisor Gable?
My experience in human services in this is it's not a short-term goal. I mean, and the trouble with the data can't see what's happening 10 years from now, like they say.
Right.
They're having, and like I say, you're kind of always getting a snapshot. But like I say, every program I've ever been involved in, their goals are always 10 years, you know, or 5 years, you know, depending what it is. Because sometimes it takes that long to change the behavior, you know.
Yeah. I think you'll find with our committee and the work that we do, we don't necessarily have a whole lot of PhD level folks submitting reports to us, but that does not diminish the quality of the work out there. And it's things that are incredibly accessible, in most cases, things that have a lot of supporting documentation over time about various programs and how they operate. The challenge for us, if we want to be more than just a budgetary vote, and I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, is to find creative ways for making sure that stuff gets engaged with our constituents. And that takes some imagination about how to do that so that things are really effective. Imagination and a little ambition and sometimes a little pig-headedness.
You will get a tour of human services, and you get to talk to some of these directors, and they'll explain to you what they're doing and what they're doing, and it becomes... You know, and the nice part about is they're in one building pretty much, and they work together. So you don't have this group over here doing this and this group over here doing that, and you know, yeah. They got the same damn client, you know. So they work as a team.
I'd welcome each one of you to work on any of the committees. It's an open table, and we appreciate your involvement. And Supervisor Damon, thank you for mentioning about policy improvement, because that's the piece, whether it's big P or little P, that's where you can assist in supporting an initiative or being that champion of a particular initiative. And that really helps to guide and move forward with health and reduce health disparities in our community, improve the health.
Or sometimes creating a new one. I'm a big fan of that one. Any other questions?
Before I forget, if you're really interested in the County Health Rankings, if you go to their website, countyhealthrankings.org, the website is actually really neat because you can compare the different counties. So you can click on Kenosha and compare it to different counties in the state. Kind of interesting. But the top three counties for outcomes in Wisconsin, Ozaukee County, Kewaunee County, and Portage, for health factors, Ozaukee, Dane, and Bronx. So.
And it's not easy to shift. It's not easy to go from 60 to 1. When you shift yourself, other counties are also shifting. So it can have economics can play a big part. As you can see, Ozaukee is number one, and they're a very wealthy county.
That's a great point, if you don't mind. That's a great point. And that's one thing I was thinking. I looked at that, and it's like, you can't compare us to Ozaukee.
No,
that's not. You can't do that. That's
correct.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is, but we're 64th to Ozaukee, and shouldn't we, you know, if you're setting goals, you got to take them out of the equation. I mean, we have no chance of beating Ozaukee.
But that's the whole point, that we can't, we will never shift that drastically because of, there's so many factors. Our housing stock,
right.
27% right. is.
So these numbers are very much don't look good, but it's relative to what you're comparing it to.
Exactly.
So that at least makes sense to me. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's where you sit in the state.
Yeah.
What you're surrounded by.
Yeah.
What's your economic impact? There's so many complex factors that play into these numbers. Yeah. So we just use it as a point of measurement. And, you know, the weight isn't like it's the all end all, but people are excited because it is something. And that's what Supervisor Damon was mentioning. It is, we at least have something to measure against.
So this year we're 64, next year we'll be 62.
Yeah. And then we throw a party.
It would be, but it'd probably, if like did something, you know, like our group, like maybe we're number 10 in the realistic group of counties. Does that make sense?
That measure.
That would have our parameter. I mean, there's.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
What's middle between Ozaukee and us would be Fond du Lac. They're 32. So, I mean, I just took a look at, in comparison of those three counties, and to take a look at, some things were very similar, and other things we have our issues in our community. Those are the issues that we work on that really could make an impact on our health rankings. An example would be the unintentional poisoning deaths. Very large. It impacts death data. It impacts our premature death and lost years of life. So it and from that could be a whole host of other things with drug abuse. It could be mental health. I mean, there's a lot of complexity involved in each particular.
I just had an idea.
Oh, very good. See, there's that creativity.
But I'm not going to talk about it yet. Yeah.
Let it
work.
Let it marinate.
Yes.
Yeah, let's hear it.
It needs some work, surprise. Any other questions?
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Please feel free to give us a call at any point and stop in up and see us. Thank you.
Agenda item number 6, Department. Human Services Organizational Chart.
That would be me. John couldn't make it tonight. Okay.
So if you saw, first of all, the org chart that was attached. That just gives you an overview of the entire department. It's the Department of Human Services and then all the divisions underneath. And we have 6 divisions. The medical examiner, because they are located in the job center building, their administrative office, they're also on the org chart because fiscally they are under human services as well. Otherwise, they are a standalone entity governed by their own statutes. And so I just thought I would get this information to you, so in case you're ever wanting to know how it works, this is it.
So I have a question. What's the difference between, they have like dashes around some of the people and then...
Oh, I was just trying to highlight, okay, the first row under John Jansen, these are all people who are in the office of the director. I'm John Jansen's secretary. So Doug Bartz, he manages the Job Center program, which is people who are dislocated from employers. The companies close down, they lay off people. He works with them to get them into programs that can get them re-educated into different jobs, whatever it is they need. Diane Neeson, she manages our contracts. Human Services has many contracts that with providers to do various services in all of our divisions. And you'll find that out as time goes on. So she manages those. And then you've got the medical examiner, Patty Hall. We also have in our office planning and evaluation, Jennifer Medore, and she has a crew of some others that work with her. They are the data people. They gather all the data and they do all the charts, and then they just provide whatever is needed for all the divisions in Human Services. And then we also have Ed Jakes, our systems developer. They develop computer programs for, again, all our divisions in the Job Center, any programs that are needed for gathering data, whatever is needed, and they customize them for each division. They're very good. And then Lori Stave, she is our chief financial officer over all the fiscal people for Human Services. Speaking of Lori Stave, she did ask me to hand out these, pass these around. This is our closeout for 2013. And because the report is going to Finance Committee next week, and it always comes to Human Services as well, this is a heads up so that you get to see it as well. Lori apologizes she couldn't be here tonight because she had another commitment. It used to be a Tuesday night meeting. But she will be available if you have any questions when you review it and you want to call or email her. But she will be at our next meeting to actually review this and answer any questions that you have then as well. And then that third row on this org chart, I was just trying to have the division directors stand out a bit more.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason. Those are the actual division directors. Adeline Green is Workforce Development. They work with people getting food stamps, Badger Care, medical assistance. The child support is also her. Laverne Jaros, who is here also tonight, is Aging and Disability Services. They work with the elderly, the disabled, and they also work with, I don't know if you've heard of the agency here in Kenosha, Human Development Services, kids they're referred to, and they are contracted with them as well. Rogers is Children and Family Services. They deal with reported cases of child abuse or neglect. Juvenile delinquents, they get into the court system, they handle those. We also have Donna Rhodes. She is the gang intervention supervisor, and she coordinates the entire community, all gang prevention activities. She was appointed by Jim Cruiser when he became county executive so that we didn't have overlap of gang agencies. One was doing this, one was doing that, and they were there was too much duplication. So everything goes through Donna. And let's see, Cindy Johnson, who is just here, Division of Health. Frances, Fran Petrick. She is the director of Brookside Care Center. And then Daryl Green is the director of Veteran Services. So the only division of Brookside Care Center that is not in our building. Everything else is located in the Job Center building itself. And then this other standalone sheet, it's just a phone list. It's a listing of all the directors, their phone numbers, their email addresses. You can call any one of them I'm usually pretty good at finding anybody you're looking for. Or if you, or if you don't know who exactly you need to talk to, if a constituent should call you with a question or a problem, you can always give me a call and I'll figure out, you know, who might best be able to help you, and I'll refer you and get you to that person.
Erin is awesome. If you have to call the general line, it is a nightmare. So if I don't know if the numbers that you gave us are in the little yellow book or orange book, whatever color it is. If not, save that.
Yeah, you want to save this one. This is everybody's direct line.
Put it in your phone if you have to.
Right. These are numbers. So while some of them are general numbers, simply because their direct number might not reach them there very often. For example, Fran Petrick. Mm-hmm.
It's just as easy to call you.
Yeah. That way, if the director isn't in, and or in, sometimes maybe somebody else might be able to help you better, I would get you then to that person who would be able to do that for you. Nextly, hand this out. I made a list of all of our meetings for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So if you could please get them all into your calendars. And once everybody gets the list, I just want to highlight a couple of things. We do meet the first Monday of every month, but there are some exceptions. September 8th, because it's the second Monday because Labor Day is the first. And the most important meeting of the year that we ask that you please be there is October 22nd. That is, we have a joint budget meeting with our Human Services Board Committee. And it is to approve the 2015 budget. And Laurie Staves makes this wonderful presentation and goes through everything, and then both the Human Services Committee and we also have the Human Services Board have to approve the budget.
Is that at 6:30 also?
No.
Because it's normally earlier, so I'm
I have it below here. We serve food at 5 o'clock, and then the meeting starts at 5:30. See what else. We do occasionally have special meetings. If a resolution needs to come before this committee sooner rather than later, we sometimes do that. I do have your home email addresses and your Kenosha County email address. So I wanted to ask everyone, which do you prefer that I use? Would you prefer I just use your county email address, or whatever your choice is? I don't want to bombard all your emails if you don't need me to.
Oh, for any county board business.
Whenever I email, I'm going to email you the agendas and any notices.
How did you get my home? No, I'm just kidding.
Due to the open records law, this conversation I had with Corporation Counsel years ago when they didn't give us county email addresses, and then they said, we should really do that. You should really make use of your county email. Also because there's an address book in there that if you need to email somebody who's, outside of human services, or you don't necessarily have a little book with you, it's a very quick way of finding that person and getting in contact with them. It even lists their office number, their direct line in many cases. So it's much more useful to you than just to come to your personal, which could be problematic in the event that someone says, hey, we're looking for this, where is it? You have to expose all your
stuff. Have our county email addresses for the new people?
Right. So as long as that's good for everybody, that's what I'll use, and that's all I'll use is your county email?
That's fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. My next question is going to be, if I needed to reach you on an emergency basis to cancel a meeting, would you prefer that I use a cell phone, your home phone, your work number, whatever?
Cell phone for me. Yes. Our home phone. You probably don't have it.
No, I don't. If you wanted to email me,
I'll email
that information, that'd be great. Whatever you want me to use.
I will do that.
Cell phone's fine, and texting is good, or calling, but texting is fine.
I don't have a text.
Okay. I'm calling my cell phone. It's fine.
Okay.
I'll leave a message if I don't answer.
Okay. Can you send me your...
Oh, you don't have it?
No, I don't have your cell phone. Oh, sure.
because if it comes up unregistered, I don't always answer it.
Right.
Hand it to me.
Yep.
Oh, okay, great.
I'll give you my.
You've got my cell phone, right?
I do.
Yes. Everybody's got my cell phone.
Home phones are going by the wayside pretty much, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's where do you I have get all my political
I don't think I have yours. Okay. I think
I'll write it.
When they win, it's on my house phone. I want a trip to the Bahamas here.
Sometimes, too, if I'm not
I
sure if we're going to have a quorum.
I got that one, too.
I will call just to make sure that everybody is going to be at the meeting. If we have a very important resolution that it's important to get, it gets addressed that night, then I will be calling that as well.
You may not think quorum is important, but when you have a particularly heavy agenda item, or you have a situation where there's a board or commission that's, down 3 seats, and we've got to approve people on them so that they can meet and continue to operate as normal, and we don't have a quorum again, it can be a problem. That has happened on occasions. We try not to let that happen and give you enough advance notice, but.
That's all I have.
So October, we will not have the first meeting?
That
just double-checking.
Right, that is correct. Yeah, everybody's mind will be on budget and budget only.
No October meeting, okay.
Right.
First.
There'll be all kinds of meetings in October.
And it'll be notated on what, this is gonna be funny, what used to be the blue sheet that would get sent out by the county clerk's office of the list of meetings.
The weekly list.
Yeah. Dates, times, locations.
There's, we get a lot. There's this.
Yeah, I'm
you learn we get on the weekly sheet. There's lots of times where it's amended once, amended twice.
And hopefully now with moving digitally, that should be easier. I hope. We'll see.
So, are you saying that for the next meeting, I won't have to mail out any paper packets?
I'm gonna get to that.
Okay, so I'm done.
Thank you.
Agenda item 7, is there any other business authorized by law? None. I have a few things unless any other committee members have comments or questions in here first.
I was going to say, I thought the presentation was very well done on that. On there. I'm impressed that they at least were thinking the way I was thinking about it.
Can you do me a favor? Email them to know.
Sure.
Because they, if our department and division heads don't always get that kind of personal thank you.
Well, I think like I the one thing to say is have attainable, measurable goals, and that's all we should carry. That's that. And if we can see a goal, hey, we're getting close, then we think that's good.
Shoot them an email and let them know.
Okay. That's all I got to say.
Okay. A few things. One, welcome to Human Services. I'm hoping because, well, maybe not. The email I sent out about the state and federal agencies that more or less conduct business interact with this committee in some sort of function, you all got that?
Whoops.
If you didn't, I mean, it's the same thing.
I think I saw it and I'm like, how do I know this?
Yeah, I tweaked it a little. So it wasn't exactly the same.
Let me check. I'm not sure, David.
I mean, if you didn't, I can resend it.
Yeah, can you resend it?
Okay.
Oh, yes. That's why I couldn't.
Actually, email me first so that I know where to send it to. Have you been able to get in your county email?
I haven't. I've been gone. I've been out of the country for the last 10 days.
That's where I sent it. So if you
okay,
not
the county.
The
okay, I'll have
it,
to look at it.
It's on the World Wide Web.
Have you been able to get in your county email?
Oh, yes.
And you?
Yes.
All right, I'm just making sure.
You can also set up your county email where it forwards to your personal email, so you don't have to log to your county email.
Right, but to make sure that if you wish to respond to something, that you respond from your county one, not your personal.
Or UCC your county one. That's what I do.
When you open up your personal email, if somebody comes after you for some unknown reason, now your personal email becomes public document. Somebody warned me about that.
Yes, that's why
you should meet, Jaden.
Yeah.
Okay.
The lead doesn't mean that they're still there.
Yeah, someplace.
Secondly, committee procedure. Typically, if you have questions for whomever it is that is speaking, and that's not just committee but also for the floor, you would seek to be recognized by the chair before speaking. It's not an ego thing, it's just a procedural thing. Occasionally, doesn't happen very often in committee, you know, we can rub elbows on some issues a little bit, and it kind of helps reduce some of the tension. Especially helps on the floor a great deal. So always, you know, Mr. Chairman through the chair to whatever the question is, helps a lot reduce whatever anxiety folks may have on the issue that's being discussed. Third thing, the idea about a tour. I like that. Can we set that up?
Sure.
We
can do a tour anytime.
We've done that in the past.
Yes,
I know,
we have.
But we don't make it like a regular thing. Which is,
I know everybody has different schedules, so you know we're accommodating. Anybody can come at any time. Just you know, call up and schedule it through me, and then we can just do it.
We should do a structured thing for new supervisors. I know there was the big crash course through, you know, the orientation, which is just. It's great that we do it, but it's atrocious.
The youth and governance tour is the end of June, which is very helpful if the new supervisors go on that.
It goes through the whole county.
Which is still helpful for the new supervisors.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking how to get something a little more in-depth other than just...
Yeah. 4 years ago, they took us on a tour of human resources. They took us. We went down to the job center. We... At every department.
I think that's a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is.
I want to do that.
You know, for some of us that don't, we need to see that.
And I don't know who all from the department participated in that and was present.
All the division directors, yeah. Because, yeah, we have a set pattern that we go through. So they meet everybody. They learn all the inner workings. So, yeah.
If you want to.
Let's do it.
Okay.
And let me know when it is. I might go with you. I know our division director from Human Services have said this in the past, so I want to reiterate this up front. If you have any questions about the program, they are required by law to submit outcomes, statistics to the proper state and federal agencies, whoever they may be. You are welcome to come in and ask questions about that. You're welcome to come in and look at that. It is open to you to do so. You know, call them on the phone, make the request through email. You know, maybe you might need to give them a little heads up so they can get some time to pull the data for you so that it's there, you know. So you're not sitting in a half hour while they dig through a file drawer or something or go through computers. That is something that is available to you to do. So should you feel the need to do that, I would say, make use of it. Last thing, we're getting some sort of device. I'm told it's iPads. I don't know for certain.
It's not an iPad.
It's not?
No, it's a tablet.
Lord Almighty. I don't know what's going to be on it or what we're going to be able to do or not do with it. I think not do is probably the more important part of it. For me, I know we've had things that have come up here in committee where a question was asked and I knew that there was something on a state or federal site that could help answer questions about information or provide a little bit deeper background. Sometimes we have folks here who can address some of that as it pertains to Kenosha County that's really helpful, like with the treatment and diversion stuff that came up about a year ago. It would be really great for me personally. This is just a personal request. That all of us, and I know Supervisor Arrington is not here, would go to whatever device it is that we're getting with the anticipation that were something like that to arise, if you had a question that was asked about something that you heard, maybe it was an Excel spreadsheet from Workforce Development that I could just bop, bop, you know, and send it to you on the fly, and everybody's looking at it all at one time, as opposed to you trying to find it on your phone or send it to your email when you have to wait till you get home. It's to be as immediate about it as possible. And then, you know, if you look at it and go, okay, yeah, this is what we're talking about. Well, I don't have the answer to that. It might be Wandy Mazio, who works for the state, who's our regional economic development analyst, you know, and then that question can get forwarded to her. So being as on top of it as we can. I want to be a little more in-depth this time around than we were last time. We got pretty good, but we can do better. So... not told the clerk you want to do that. Thought about it tonight. She may be a little upset at you if you let her know last minute. But please make use of that. Also because, like, tech and county boards is a really expanding area in terms of what can be done and interacting with constituents and all kinds of things. So you'll be missing out if you say no. And you'll increase your learning curve for the next time you really have to do it. So that's all I have.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Supervisor Gable.
I'll send you.
Thanks. Sharon asked about emailing packets out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or email / mail.
I'm hoping not.
Email me. Keep emailing me.
Okay.
I don't need a mail.
Yeah, I
can email and then ask if anybody wants hard copy packets still. I know one person will.
I really want to say no more mailing. But I don't want to be a jerk. You okay with it not being mailed or with it being mailed?
Not, I don't want it.
Okay. Right. All right.
Okay. I'll continue with the email until such time as people say, no more, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you. All right, it was a motion to adjourn. Was there anything else? Thank you for the reminder, by the way. She keeps me on my toes. Motion by Supervisor Gable, is there a second?
I seconded.
Second by Supervisor Retzler.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Let's go home. Or have dreams.
You know, motion to adjourn shakes precedent over all other motions.
Oh, wait.
Oh, right. And always remember, these are recorded and posted online. So do not say anything crazy. Because if